Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for Thursday, November 16th, 2023. Hospital District reports high numbers of patients at After Hours Clinic in Presidio after program launch. By Sam Karras. Presidio. At Tuesday night's Big Bend Regional Hospital District, BBRHD, meeting, Grant Administrator Lynette Bram reported that Presidians were taking advantage of new health care programs made available through grant funding. The data showed positive trends ahead of a grand opening ceremony for the new Big Bend Regional Health, BBRH, clinic to be held on Wednesday, November 29th, and to open to patients the following day. Last June, the BBRHD announced that Presidio Interlingua would be the recipients of a $5.5 million grant from the USDA to expand local health care offerings. Presidio was apportioned the bulk of the funding to establish an after-hours clinic and a community paramedicine program that would serve locals outside of regular business hours and for housebound Presidians at their places of residence. At a well-attended town hall hosted in August, many Presidians complained that they sometimes had to wait weeks for appointments at the existing Preventative Care Health Services, PCHS, clinic, leaving few treatment options for conditions that weren't necessarily emergencies but required quick care, like fevers and minor injuries. Presidio EMT Jessica Murillo told the crowd that she hoped the new clinic would alleviate these issues. "This is the reality for Presidio," she said. "Unfortunately, there just aren't the resources here." Through the grant, PCHS was able to extend its hours beyond regular business hours to include walk-in appointments from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, as well as offering care on two Saturdays a month. The program has been up and running since the beginning of September. Bram said that so far, numbers at the PCHS after-hours clinic showed that locals were taking advantage of the new services. 186 physician contacts, to be precise, since the service started booking appointments in September. "From day one, they were booking appointments for after hours," she said. The new BBRH clinic is intended to supplement the new care offerings at the PCHS clinic and will share space with the Big Bend Regional Hospital District office at 602 West O'Reilly Street in downtown Presidio 3 days a week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. The grant will also fully fund a pharmacist's salary and work to grow a case management program, which helps chronically ill or disabled patients develop an individualized health care plan. 20 new Presidians had taken advantage of that service in the month of October. A portion of the funding has also gone towards establishing a community paramedicine program, which enables qualified emergency medical personnel to assist patients beyond 911 calls. The program includes home visits to provide help with medication management, follow-up visits, and more. Bram reported that the program had seen 31 patient contacts since the beginning of October, and that Presidio EMS staff had been going door to door to let people know that the program was up and running. "We've heard some touching stories," she said. She hoped that these numbers were just the beginning of an upward trend, particularly with the extended clinic services that Presidians had been hoping to see for years. "I'd like to see some more advertising done on that," she said. "Some people don't know that it's open yet, but it's off to a really good start." City of Marfa announces first round of HOT grant recipients. By Mary Cantrell, MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. Citizens representing local arts, historic, and cultural endeavors turned up to a city council meeting this week to lobby for grant funding for their various projects. Twice a year, council members hear recommendations from a hotel occupancy tax, HOT, grant committee, and award funds in four primary categories: advertising reimbursement, arts and culture, historic preservation, and sports. The HOT Grant Committee is currently made up of Mayor Manny Baeza, Mayor Pro Tem Raul Lara, and Tourism Director Jennifer Connors. The grant program is funded annually by hotel taxes the city receives and is geared toward putting heads in beds or promoting overnight stays in town. This year, the city budgeted to receive $700,000 in HOT taxes, but the majority of that money goes towards the overall Tourism and Convention Center budget, which includes salaries, building maintenance for the USO, or Marfa Visitor Center, advertising for publications, brochures, and more. State law dictates how municipalities can spend HOT tax funds, and while there is ongoing discussion on the local and state level about widening the use to include city infrastructure projects and more, it is currently limited to supporting tourism activities. The first round of grants administered is for events taking place between October 1st, 2023, and March 30th, 2024. This year, the city budgeted a total of $35,000 for arts and culture events, $41,000 for historic preservation-related events, $5,000 for sporting events, and $20,000 for advertising reimbursements. Bob Schwab was present to advocate for the newly formed nonprofit Friends of Hunter Gym, a group looking to restore the 1941 Adobe Gym and designated historic landmark on Marfa ISD's campus that is not currently being used by the district due to the presence of mold. Schwab argued that the Hunter Gym restoration will positively impact the local community, preserving an important piece of Marfa's history in addition to out-of-towners. He said the group plans to hire local contractors to carry out sorely needed repairs to the structure and, once restored, to make the space available for future community-wide and school-related events like an Adobe seminar, robotics competitions, sports games, and more. He acknowledged that the nonprofit was asking for a substantial sum, $30,000, well over the city's typical historic preservation grant allotment, but said the project will benefit the area economically for years to come. "We believe this is going to be a long-term important structure and important activity for Marfa," said Schwab. "We want you to be a partner with us in this, be part of this process, making sure that we don't let that building further decay." Pat Kesey of the Marfa Municipal Alliance for Dead County and Folk Singers was also present at the meeting to explain the group's desire to host a HOT tax-funded series of performances. Kesey explained that the alliance was made up of 50 musicians who have helped raise $30,000 over the past few years for local organizations. He said the alliance's members were diverse, playing a mixture of Tejano, contemporary punk rock, country, and more, and deserved the city's support for their contributions to Marfa's musical landscape. "If you could support the music community, they've already given back. they'll continue to give back, said Kesey. There, promoting his new short film, shot in Marfa, Ashes to Ashes, was Clark Childers, who argued forthcoming premieres, one in town and one in Los Angeles, would both bring in visitors and highlight Marfa's film scene to national audiences. I think we could develop a more thriving film community here if they saw that there was support for more films in Marfa made by Marfans, said Childers. Last, to address city council members, was Martha Stafford of the Marfa and Presidio County Museum. She said the museum was seeking both advertising and historic preservation grants to revise its brochures, hire someone to manage its social media, create an interactive display, turn its side yard into more of a community park, and more. Before announcing hot grant recipients, city officials addressed their limitations regarding funding of historic preservation projects at this time, stating the city's own historic and tourism facility projects took precedence. The city budgeted $100,000 for historic building preservation this cycle, a line item within the Tourism and Convention Center budget. City Manager Mandy Roan and Mayor Baeza explained that the USO was in need of a roof repair or possible roof replacement. The museum floor was still being addressed, and the Marfa Activity Center gym, which can be rented out and therefore falls under the tourism umbrella, required upgrades. It looks like a lot of the money that we have in historic preservation, said Baeza, but I believe we're going to use every penny this year on working on our three buildings. In advertising reimbursement grants, the city awarded $3,500 to maintenance and $3,500 to Ballroom Marfa. The Marfa Museum, Marfa Chamber of Commerce's Little Amal event, and Chinati Foundation all applied but were not chosen for advertising reimbursements. In arts and culture grants, the city awarded $2,500 to Dara and Pratt, $6,500 to Ballroom Marfa, $750 for Marfa Chamber of Commerce's Little Amal event, $5,000 to maintenance, and $2,250 to the Marfa Municipal Alliance for dead country and folk singers. Other applicants, Friends of Ruidosa Church and film Ashes to Ashes, received $0. The Marfa 100 received $2,500 from sporting events. Under historic preservation, the Chinati Foundation received $10,000, the Marfa Museum received $8,000, and Friends of Hunter Gym received $0. Disclosure: Mary Cantrell is a Friends of Hunter Gym board member. Photo by Hannah Gentiles for the Big Bend Sentinel. During the Friends of Ruidosa Church Community Day fundraiser on Saturday, Asmiel Rodriguez points to photos of his family members born on either side of the border in and near Ruidosa. Rodriguez, originally born in the region, traveled from California to bring these images to share with the community. He had been attempting to make this trip for many years. Big Bend Regional Hospital District awards $25,000 to fund anti-abortion Presidio Pregnancy Center. By Sam Karras. Sam at BigBendSentinel.com. Alpine. At Tuesday night's meeting, the Big Bend Regional Hospital District, BBRHD, voted to award $25,000 to the Presidio Pregnancy Center, PPC, out of a roughly $100,000 pot of money allocated by the agency for programs to benefit local health care. The center is a crisis pregnancy center affiliated with CareNet, an evangelical anti-abortion organization that funds crisis pregnancy centers nationwide. The Presidio Project launched in September and is still seeking volunteers, funding, and a physical office. Though crisis pregnancy centers often advertise healthcare services, they are not staffed by healthcare professionals and often serve to dissuade women from seeking abortions. There are more than 2,500 crisis pregnancy centers in Texas, which has effectively banned abortion procedures within state lines. The Big Bend region represents a large gap, an empty triangle between clusters of these facilities in El Paso, Odessa, and Del Rio. The PPC is part of a new regional healthcare initiative called the Big Bend Maternal Care Network, BBMCN, established earlier this year. The coalition also includes the Big Bend Regional Medical Center and the Sol Ross State University School of Counseling. The network has been seeking grant funding to address gaps in maternal care, given that the Tri-County area, and in particular Presidio, is a majority-minority region where many people live below the poverty line and without health insurance. The BBMCN applied for grant funding from the Federal Office of Minority Health and was denied based on a perceived lack of data to establish need. Newsom said that the coalition would refine its reporting and continue to seek funding. "We're not done yet," he said. "We're going to keep looking for some other opportunities because there is a need and a huge gap in access to maternal health care in the region." Newsom acknowledged that the PPC could not provide health care services, but felt that the fledgling organization might be able to offer a community-based support network for expectant mothers. He anticipated that the money would be used toward launching the organization's physical location and services. When asked about the PPC's overt anti-abortion and evangelical agenda, Newsom responded by saying that funding organizations with explicitly religious missions is not uncommon in the healthcare industry. Because Lynette Bram, the board president of the PPC, is both a hospital district employee and a volunteer board member, he was very sensitive to potential conflicts of interest. Newsom stressed that the BBRHD's medical enhancement grants were reimbursement grants, meaning that recipients had to budget and spend grant money ahead of time before funding could be approved. "If there's something questionable, we've got the opportunity to say this is not part of the scope of the grant, and this is not something that the hospital district is going to pay for," he said. "There's a lot of built-in accountability there." Other grant recipients included Terlingua ISD and the Sunshine House Senior Center in Alpine, receiving $4,226 and $15,000, respectively. The board still has around $55,000 to award to potential grant recipients. The board voted to table proposals by the City of Presidio for safer flooring materials at the Presidio Activity Center gym and for a recruitment program to bring new physicians to the Marfa Country Clinic. Those proposals will likely be revisited at January's board meeting. Presidio County awarded $1.3 million TxDOT grant for East Marfa Connectivity Project by Mary Cantrell. MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. Presidio County was recently awarded $1.3 million in grant funds from the Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, for the construction of a new pedestrian bridge that will connect east to central Marfa. The 12-foot-wide two-way bridge will be located on the north side of the existing Oak Street, or Farm Road 1112, motor bridge and will offer a safe passage for walkers and bikers traveling to and from the east side of town. Sidewalk additions and improvements from Avenue B to the Marfa Public Library are also included in the project. The current motor bridge, which is located outside of city limits, is owned and maintained by TxDOT, as is the land where the new ADA-accessible pedestrian bridge will be built. County Commissioner David Beebe, who prepared the proposal for the Transportation Alternatives grant and is acting as the project manager, said construction will not begin for a year or more and is not likely to disrupt traffic. The entire cost of the project is $1.6 million, meaning an additional $300,000 in funds will need to be secured by the county. The grant is reimbursable, meaning that the county will first have to spend money before being paid back by TxDOT, but the project will be done in phases, lessening the financial burden, said Beebe. Beebe said while costly, the project has the opportunity to create long-term positive impacts for a traditionally underserved side of town, better connecting the east side inhabitants to the public library, post office, pharmacy, two parks, and more. That's the kind of investment that you should spend money on, said Beebe. This could really rejuvenate the entire Farm Road 1112 area close to town. It could make Salsipuedes an area that's more family-friendly, safer for everybody, less cut off from the activities of town. As it stands, pedestrians have no choice but to cross via the two-lane motor bridge, which is narrow with no shoulders and sees cars traveling 50 miles per hour or down through Alamito Creek. Robert Halperin, who helped facilitate the initiative through his role as workforce and economic development specialist at the Rio Grande Council of Governments, said the unincorporated community has long deserved a better connection to town. I see people walking, and they shouldn't have to walk in the creek or share that two-lane bridge with cattle trucks, said Halperin. We'll have a pedestrian bicycle bridge adjacent to the vehicle bridge in a couple of years. I think that's great. Halperin, who lives in Salsipuedes, attributed the $1.3 million funding windfall to Beebe's hard work, as well as Salsipuedes residents' grassroots efforts to show support for the project by writing letters and attending meetings with TxDOT representatives. Carla De Hoyos, a Salsipuedes resident who owns and operates a bar, Vaquero Vibes, with her husband in the area, said the new pedestrian bridge will be a positive addition for both locals and tourists. When the warmer days are around, we'd love to see more people walking on our side of town versus Central, said De Hoyos. She said the bridge was sorely needed from a safety perspective, and she hoped more people in the neighborhood would use it to walk and stay healthy. De Hoyos will be experiencing construction firsthand, given her home's proximity to the Oak Street Bridge, but said she believes the additional pedestrian walkway will elevate the look of the existing bridge. The project is anticipated to take around 3 years to complete once construction begins, in late 2024 or early 2025, said Beebe. Beebe said the East Side Connectivity Project will also benefit the growing Antelope Hills area. Part of his fundraising strategy will include seeking out private donations from established and forthcoming businesses in the area, like Max Hetzler Gallery and El Cosmico. Contributions from individual donors are also a possibility, said Beebe, who is working on creating a new county policy that would allow donors to give towards specific government projects versus the county's general fund. If somebody writes a $5,000 check, that's $5,000 I don't need to pry out of the county general fund that doesn't have $5,000, said Beebe. Beebe also plans to seek help from the city of Marfa, he said, if not in the form of cash, through donations of barricades and dirt work. The Friends of the Marfa Public Library have backed the project, in addition to the Rio Grande Council of Governments. The bridge itself represents the largest cost of the project, but curbing, handicap ramps, excavation, signage, and more all roll into the final all-inclusive cost, said Beebe. Due to the presence of Alamito Creek, environmental studies will also be required to ensure the bridge's longevity. All this stuff is really expensive, said Beebe. When you look at the $1.6 million, that is everything included, inflation, overruns, engineering, environmental study, dirt work, berms, removal, disposal, everything. Despite the county's current financial difficulties, which Beebe is well aware of, strategic investments in the county and its people needed to continue, he argued. While we still have the ability to do great projects like this, I'm hoping that these things can help propel us towards a better economy, a better economic outlook for the area, by investing in some of our areas that have traditionally seen less investment, less infrastructure, said Beebe. While the connectivity project is currently isolated to the specific stretch of Oak Street, Beebe said the creation of a formal bike plan down the road that could act as an extension to the forthcoming Highway 67 bike lane from Alpine to Marfa could mean more grant funds and more accessible walking and biking paths. Staff photo by Mary Cantrell. Presidio County received a $1.3 million grant from TxDOT to construct a walk and bike bridge on the north side of the existing Oak Street Motor Bridge. The significant addition will allow for long-needed safe pedestrian passage from east to central Marfa. Ahead of filing deadline, race for county attorney generates enthusiasm. By Sam Karras, Sam at BigBendSentinel.com. Presidio County. In a break from election season norms, two Democratic candidates have announced their intentions to run for Presidio County Attorney. Nearly a month from the deadline to file as a candidate on December 11th. This spring, incumbent Rod Pontone, who has served two full terms and an unexpired term in office, will face off against Blair Park, another native Marfan, hoping to bring a fresh perspective to the post. The county attorney serves as official legal counsel, representing Presidio County in court and offering advice to local officials about potential pitfalls in contracts, ordinances, and other routine business. The attorney's salary is partly paid by the state of Texas and partly by the county from the local property tax pool. Ponton has served the Tri-County area both as an elected official and in private practice for decades. In 2006, he was appointed county attorney to fill an unexpired term and served for 2 years in that capacity. He was elected district attorney in 2012 and served a full 4-year term. He was defeated in the next Democratic primary for DA, but successfully ran for Presidio County Attorney, serving from 2016 to the present day. He said he was grateful for the experience that the district attorney position provided, but preferred to stay closer to home. I ended up being much happier doing what I'm doing, he said. I get to try to improve things in Presidio County. At 33 years old, Park has fewer years as an attorney under her belt, but feels passionately that she can serve the community she grew up in. She spent most of her childhood in Marfa before the family relocated to San Angelo, where she graduated from high school and decided to pursue a career in law. After working for 5 years as an attorney in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, she decided to come home during the pandemic. When you grow up in a small town, you just want to leave it, to get out of here and move to the big city, she said. When COVID hit, I had the feeling that going back home wasn't so bad. I was really missing home and wanting to be back in Marfa. Park has generations of roots in Presidio County, representing its signature blend of Mexican, indigenous, and Anglo farming and ranching traditions. Many Marfans remember her grandmother, who ran legendary local staple Carmen's Cafe. A lot of the old-school Marfans will still remember me as the little girl that ran around the cafe taking orders, she said. She has also fostered friendships with transplants to Marfa and hopes to be able to advocate for both groups as an elected official. A lot of the older people like having that local connection, she said. Hopefully, I can be a kind of a bridge in between the two groups of people. Those who are originally from here, and then the people who are moving in. Both Ponton and Park also see the position as a public platform to advocate for the needs of county residents. Health care is a high priority for the two candidates. In a remote area with limited resources, they see the issue as a literal matter of life and death. Ponton took credit for urging the Big Bend Regional Hospital District to pursue a grant through the USDA for $5.5 million to benefit health care in Presidio and Terlingua. Though both communities stand to benefit, Presidio has taken the lion's share of the funding to expand the local clinic's offerings, including after-hours walk-in care and a community paramedicine program. He was proud to play a role in getting the hospital district to open up their eyes to gaps in care in Presidio. It can provide Presidio with first-class American-style health care for the first time, he said. Park has been an outspoken advocate for local health care, diving into policy research and talking to folks about what it's like to navigate the system. At a local Democratic Party event 2 weekends ago, she moderated a panel on women's health in rural Texas post-Dobbs. She said that, as a woman of childbearing age, she has to travel out of town for appointments and a season of closures in the labor and delivery wing of the local hospital was a major factor in trying to make decisions about having kids in Marfa. You hear the horror stories, she said. Women's health care is huge for me. After a harrowing budget season, Park is also hoping to use her potential platform as an elected official to help find ways to ease the county's financial constraints from the inside. She echoed Ponton's interest in helping the county tap into resources offered by the state and federal governments. It's really important for someone to be keeping their eyes out for different bonds and grants that can be done to help, she said. Our property taxes aren't quite covering what we need. This is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for Thursday, November 16th, 2023, obituaries. Donaldson. Mary Ann Donaldson, born March 25th, 1937, of Marfa, Texas, died in her sleep on October 28th, 2023. She was married to Bobby Lee Donaldson, Sr., ex-mayor and owner of ABC Pump and Hardware of Marfa, who preceded her in death. They had lived and worked in the Marfa community since 1961. Mary Ann, as her friends called her, was manager of the first savings and loan in both the Marfa and Alpine branches from the 70s through the 90s. She was a longtime member of the First United Methodist Church since moving there in the 60s. She is preceded in death by her husband, Bobby, in 2012, and her oldest son, Alan Wayne Donaldson, of Chula Vista, California, in 2019. Other members of her family that have passed are her parents, Floyd Heron Philpott and Thelma Vetula Philpott of Satanta, Kansas, along with six brothers and three sisters, all originally from Kansas. Survivors include one daughter, Cheryl Donaldson Prousa, and two sons, Bobby Lee Donaldson Jr. and Charles Chuck Ray Donaldson, all of Marfa, five grandchildren, Jeremy Bauska of Raleigh, North Carolina, April Donaldson Flores and Kelly Donaldson Evans from the Houston area, Bobby Lee Donaldson III of Gardendale, Texas, and Kayla Marie Donaldson of Marfa, 15 great-grandchildren, all of whom lovingly called Mary Ann their Mimi, one sister, Carolyn Sue Weber of Satanta, Kansas, numerous nieces and nephews. Mary Ann was loved and respected by all she came in contact with, and she never stopped giving to others. So may our mother, wife, grandma, Mimi, sister, and friend rest in peace with our father and son above. Services will be on Saturday, November 18th, 2023, at 2 p.m. at United Methodist Church in Marfa. Online condolences may be left at www.alpinememorialfuneralhome.com. Services have been entrusted to Alpine Memorial Funeral Home in Alpine.
A turbine photography exhibit opens November 18th at Museum of the Big Bend. The Museum of the Big Bend at Sol Ross State University in Alpine will open a new exhibit of photographs by Graciela Iturbide on Saturday, November 18th. The exhibit is on loan from the Whitliff Collections at Texas State University and will include 58 black and white photographs. Iturbide, born in Mexico in 1942, is considered one of the world's finest contemporary photographers. Her work, which fuses her interest in traditional culture with a contemporary vision that reveals the symbolic power of images, has gained her enormous recognition in Mexico and all over the world. She has been honored with significant awards, including the prestigious Hasselblad Foundation Award, Eyes to Fly With, Portraits, Self-Portraits, and Other Photographs by Graciela Iturbide, was the ninth book in the Whitliff Southwestern and Mexican Photography Series. The exhibit closes February 10th and is included in the $10 general admission fee for ages 13 and older. Admission is free for current SRSU students, faculty, and staff with valid identification. For more information, email Director Mary Bones at maryb@solross.edu. Carniceria La Unica Mexican Meat Market. Carniceria La Unica, located at 1501 North Front Street, is first and foremost a Mexican meat market, but they offer up excellent variety of hot takeaway items. Grilled meats go very well in a tortilla or torta, and the one that puts the goodies together, Mrs. Claudia Beltran, is a master of her art. Selections include your choice of brisket, barbacoa, chicharrón, asado, pastor, chicken, and discada. The discada tacos, tortas, and burritos include a combination of bacon, ham, spicy chorizo, beef, and chicken. And you can get a big side of charro beans as well. The market has daily specials like grilled chicken, sausage, and a variety of beef and pork cuts, to name a few. Fresh tortillas are always available. Breads are delivered from Odessa daily and include empanadas, cookies, pan dulce, conchas, and other sweet options. On weekends, hot caldo, barbacoa, and menudo are offered. And don't forget some corn in a cup or traditional elotes. The store and kitchen are quaint but functional, so batches come out small, but that just means everything is fresh. All hot orders are takeaway, as there is no seating inside. The store offers other amenities as well: spices, sauces, salsas, manteca de puerco, hojas de tamales, candies and chips, along with a large selection of cold beverages. Meat cuts available for purchase include skirt steak, arrachera, ribs, costilla, fajita cuts, pastor, pork chops, chuleta, asada, and discada. Owner Iris Villarreal is customer-focused, always smiling, and will ensure your visit is pleasant. She's very proud of the Carnicería area, and it shows in the cleanliness, functionality, and atmosphere at the store. The store is easy to find on Facebook, where she keeps patrons up to date on daily specials. She maintains a staff of 4 employees. Aerial survey conducted at Old Fort. Mike Allison of Raptor Aerial Services visited Old Fort on Monday with Jim Hatcher and Ross Harper. Hatcher is the president of the Fort Stockton Historical Society, and Harper is the curator of the Annie Riggs Museum. In just under an hour, Allison took 473 images using a programmable drone that ran predefined grids, snapping high-definition pictures from an elevation that will be stitched together to make an orthophoto mosaic. The end product can be used in a geometric information system, or more likely, the final product will be laminated and hung on a wall for information purposes. Accuracy of the drone and camera are within 2 centimeters from height, and the camera captures up to 20 megapixels per shot. Allison has most tasks automated. The drone is programmed with a predetermined grid path route, so all he must do is sit back and watch the little helicopter do its work. The drone uses cones on the ground as reference points and lands itself on a pad when its mission is complete. All functions are controlled with a small handheld computer where Allison monitors the mission. He has already surveyed Fort McCavitt and Fort Lancaster, as well as the Caddo Mounds in Alto, and the mission at San Saba just outside Menard. He surveyed Fort Davis on Tuesday. Allison does not charge customers for his services. Fast-acting cops catch alleged liquor store robber. Quick action of the Fort Stockton Police Department and Pecos County Sheriff's Department resulted in the apprehension of a man who reportedly broke into the wholesale liquors early on the morning of November 6th. According to the store owner, who contacted the Pioneer via email but did not wish to be identified, a male subject, later identified by the Pecos County Sheriff's Department as Alexander Sergeyevich Fomenko, reportedly entered the store by cutting a fence on the rear of the building and used various items in an attempt to block security cameras. The man reportedly entered the building through an emergency exit of the liquor store, which triggered the security system. The individual entered the manager's office by breaking through the ceiling. Security footage from the store showed the man taking the liquor store cash register outside of the property's fence. Liquor store employees checked the notification and cameras and sent the notification to the store owner, with multiple security cameras showing an intruder holding an unknown object and wearing a mask. Upon receiving 911 calls, the Fort Stockton Police Department was dispatched, and Police Chief Velasquez confirmed to the Pioneer that Officer Ricardo Trejo was first on the scene and apprehended the suspect after a short chase. The suspect was arrested by the police at 1:26 a.m., according to the Pecos County arrest report provided to the Pioneer. According to the store owner, the intruder left multiple holes in the ceiling and broke air conditioner vents to gain access. Store inventory was strewn throughout the property, and boxes of liquor were left out. The store owner, who spoke to the Pioneer on Tuesday afternoon, thanked the police department and Pecos County Sheriff for their quick response and for taking control of the situation without any further damage. The Pioneer reached out to Police Chief Velasquez Tuesday morning, and he could not comment on the incident because it is still under investigation. The Sheriff's Department confirmed that the suspect in the case who was charged with burglary of a building and criminal mischief greater than $2,500, but less than $30,000. Bond for each count was set at $6,000, and the suspect was released from jail later on Monday. Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, November 9th, 2023. Jackson competes at state. Old Settlers Park in Round Rock was the site for the UIL State Cross Country Meet November 4th. Alessandra Jackson, a senior from Fort Stockton High School, demonstrated her experience and never quit attitude in completing the tough 2-mile race in 12:16:39 to claim 38th place out of 151 runners. Ollie's third trip to state is a huge accomplishment in her 4 years at Fort Stockton, said Coach Glasscock. She is a wonderful young lady and deserves all the recognition she gets for this run of state championship appearances. The 2-mile course is filled with a long start and several twists and turns that really pushes the runner to mentally focus and never quit until they pass the finish mark, with a huge crowd cheering and the names of the runners being announced. Jackson's time of 12:16:39 was about a half second behind 37th place Angelina Montelongo of Waco, La Vega, and 2.4 seconds faster than 39th place. Allie Jackson has shown her grit and determination in representing Fort Stockton in cross country, and she will continue her athletic pursuits in track and field in the spring, Glasscock said. Your guide to local places to go and things to do. November 9th to 11th, Fort Stockton High School Prowlers Basketball Tournament at the Special Events Center. November 9th, Fort Stockton Glitz at the Pecos County Civic Center, featuring a fashion show showcasing apparel, hair, and makeup from local shops and salons, plus plenty of holiday shopping ideas, not to mention samples of local foods and drinks. November 10th, Fort Stockton Panthers Varsity Football Bi-District Playoffs versus Perryton, 7 p.m., Lubbock Cooper High School. November 10th, Veterans Day Program at Fort Stockton Intermediate School, 10 a.m., West Gym. November 10th, Veterans Breakfast, Large Community Building at Roney Park, 7 a.m. November 10th, Free Car Wash from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Charisma Car Wash, 2503 West Dickinson. November 13th, Tenors Unlimited from Great Britain to perform in Fort Stockton for the first time since COVID. Northside Church at 1600 North Gillis. Visit fscommunitytheater.org for ticket information and reservations. November 15th, Friends of the Fort Stockton Public Library. Board meeting at noon at the Public Library. November 17th, Fort Stockton Prowlers Varsity Basketball versus Sweetwater, 6:15 at the Special Events Center. November 18th, the 49th Annual Arts and Crafts Show takes place at the Pecos County Civic Center. Come shop for unique gifts for everyone on your list. Toys, home decor, jewelry, clothing, and much more. Free admission. November 20th, Fort Stockton Prowlers Varsity Basketball versus Presidio, 12:30 at the Special Events Center. November 28th, Fort Stockton Prowlers Basketball versus Imperial Buena Vista, 6 p.m. at the Special Events Center. Fort Stockton Panthers Varsity Basketball versus Kermit, 7:30 p.m. at the Special Events Center. December 2nd, Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish will play host to Breakfast with Santa at St. Agnes Hall from 8:30 to 10:30. The young and young at heart are invited to come have breakfast with Santa and have their picture taken on his lap. There is no charge for the event. December 5th, Fort Stockton Prowlers Varsity Basketball versus Big Spring, 6 p.m., Special Events Center. December 9th, First Annual Fort Stockton Convention Center Christmas Bazaar, 3 to 7 p.m., Santa, Gifts, Crafts, and Music. December 14 to 16, Fort Stockton Panthers West Texas Shootout High School Boys Basketball Tournament at the Special Events Center. Games to be announced.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, November 9th. Monahans woman dies after being struck in roadway. Melissa Espinosa of Monahans was killed after she was struck in the roadway Friday evening in the 200 block of South Main. According to Monahans Police Department Chief of Police Christopher Quintana, officers were called to the 200 block of South Main around 6 p.m. in reference to a pedestrian being struck by a vehicle in the southbound lane. Quote, the driver, identified as Aaron Ursary of Monahans, immediately stopped to render aid to Espinoza. She was later transported to Ward Memorial Hospital and was ultimately sent to Medical Center Hospital in Odessa, where she succumbed to her injuries sustained in the crash, he said. No charges were filed against Ursary, and the case is still under investigation. Axe-wielding man arrested Friday. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Monahans man was arrested on two charges last Friday for allegedly threatening, wielding an axe at a female, and breaking a door of a home. Shortly before 6 p.m., Monahans police officers were called to the 500 block of West 4th in reference to a disturbance and a man with an axe. According to Monahans Police Department Chief of Police Christopher Quintana, quote, when officers arrived, there was a man standing out front of the residence holding an axe in his hand, end quote. Officers were able to get the man to put the axe down and detain the suspect, later identified as Fabian Armendariz, age 39, of 1901 South Stockton. Officers spoke with the female, Paris Haynes, who said she was trying to get inside the home and Armendariz began swinging the axe toward her and she couldn't get inside, he said. The victim told officers she was in fear for her life because Armendariz threatened to kill her. Haynes was finally able to obtain entry into the home and told officers, quote, Armendariz was still swinging the axe at her through the glass front door of the home, which he allegedly broke while trying to get inside the home, Quintana added. James Matthew, age 35, was also an occupant of the home and was present when the disturbance took place, and Armendariz is believed to be an acquaintance of both Matthews and Haynes. Armendariz was subsequently taken into custody and charged with criminal trespass and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remains in custody and no bond was set as of press time. Clara Edwards celebrates 75 years in banking. Clara Edwards celebrated her 75th year in banking with Citibank, formerly West Texas State Bank, on Monday, November 6th. Citibank and the community helped Edwards, age 95, celebrate her 75th year of banking with a grand celebration, with an estimated 150 people in attendance, cake, pastries, and a charcuterie board spread, along with balloons and fun. Edwards was also presented with a check for $7,500. Quote, my legs are tired, but I loved every minute, Edwards said. Edwards moved to Monahans from Sweetwater in 1948 and went to work with First State Bank, as it was known at the time. She headed the local softball program for girls for many years and served as the director of the Ward County Special Olympics. Morning Quake gives area shakeup. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. The National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, reported a 5.2 earthquake occurred at 4:30 a.m. Wednesday. The epicenter was located at 22 miles southwest of Mentone, with a depth of 2.5 to 3 miles deep. Some Pecos residents felt their houses shake, but no reports of damage are available at this time. The quake was felt as far east as Midland, north to Carlsbad, New Mexico, and south to Alpine and Fort Davis, where a few minor aftershocks have been reported. A cold front will be blowing into West Texas in the early morning hours of Thursday. Before the front arrives, Wednesday's daytime high temperatures will be in the 90s, but the area will experience a 30 to 40 degree overnight temperature drop. Thursday daytime highs are expected to be in the upper to mid 50s, with overnight lows in the upper to mid 40s. Overcast skies with drizzly rain is possible for Thursday. Friday is forecast to see about the same temperatures, but with a forecast of a diminished chance of moisture. By Saturday, the skies will be clear to partly cloudy, with temperatures back in the mid-60s for a daytime high and upper 40s overnight. Sand Hills Ranch Rodeo, huge success. The 2023 Sand Hills Ranch Rodeo was a hit at the Ward County Arena last Saturday. Competitive events include branding, trailer loading, wild cow milking, team doctoring, bronc riding, and more. Event organizer Scooter Dixon said, "This year's event was lots of fun, and we always have a great time putting it together." Wild cow milking. The cow is turned out with one team member on horseback. Two men hold the cow, and the fourth does the milking. The event is timed, and when the bottle has enough milk to pour, timing stops. Fastest time wins. Team doctoring. Two steers are turned out, and the team has to get them on the ground and tie their feet. Fastest team wins. Bronc riding. Each time picks one rider. The rider has to stay on the bucking horse and tries to stay on for 8 seconds. If successful, the rider is judged. Team branding. This event requires four team members, one on horseback, two ready to flank the calf, and one ready with the branding iron. The fastest time of branding the calf wins. Trailer loading. Team members must cut three cattle from the herd and drive them to the trailer. The winner is determined by the fastest time. The teams with the highest points overall were: first place, Fancy Bee from No Trees; second place, Barrow Ranch from Andrews; third place, LeMond Performance Horses from Andrews; fourth place, Dry Creek Ranch from Harwood. The honorary awards went to Brendan Bennett, Top Hand from No Trees; Christy Tovar, Top Horse from Kermit; Famray Hooper, Top Bronc Rider from Andrews.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.